You're listening to Am I the Bowlcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that's ever happened. Can you believe it? Nobody's done this before. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza, and with me as always is my co-host, Michael Solani, a.k.a. Games Freak S.A.
I'm really glad to be breaking some new ground here. You know, I've never heard about a Magic the Gathering podcast before, and I don't think we'll see one since. I think this is the be-all, end-all.
We are the only one. Also joining us is our super producer and genius, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
How's it going, Mark?
Why do you insist on calling me Mark? Still,
the government name is the name I will use.
How dare both of you? Mark Carbonza is a pseudonym I deeply regret using. It's too close to my real name. It's actually what somebody brought me up on stage as once. Mark Carbonza. Somebody got my name that wrong. Mike
Ariana Grenade.
Hey, at least it's not like a terrible name, you know? Like, you could have created something incredibly embarrassing, you know, like you Michael know Solani.
That's a good point. You know what?
Yeah, Mark Carbonza could be a magic card very easily, but Michael Solani, mm-mm.
No, I could something never be a magic.
Not quite right.
Gavin Verhey ones.
I'll say Mark Carbonza does totally fit, like, on the line of the artist name. It feels like something you'd see there. If you had to guess, what does Mark Carbonza do in the world of Magic the Gathering? People would probably be like, an artist, right?
He's, you know,
I could have sworn I'd seen that.
Dies to removal.
Dies to removal.
Dies to removal.
What? Out of all of the Bloomborough animals, what animal would Mark Carbonza be?
Oh, my God. Mark Carbonza... There are no bears on Bloomborough, which is silly because that's totally a Mark Carbonza thing. So I'm going to go with raccoon, but a really big old hefty boy who's spent so much time in the trash. You know what I mean? Sweetie pie, but also just like hanging out.
I feel bad that there's only like 5 animals in the Redwall set. Like, how did they mess this up? You could have had so many different animals and it would have been perfect and everyone would have loved it. But no, you get like 8 different types of animals. And like 5 of them are the same, right? Like mice and rats. Those are basically the same.
Boo.
Are there rats in this?
Mice are cute and so are rats.
Well, either way,
they're the same, though.
I'll say that what's fun is the format looks great. And obviously they have to keep it pared down in terms of kinds of animals because type lines and whatnot. But like,
there are a lot of animals.
I don't know,
guys.
There are so many animals. Yeah. I'll say Bloomborough looks pretty sick. For a set that I had zero interest in going in, the design has been very interesting, and I'm looking forward to pre-release coming up. Having happened last week. I think pre-release was just this last week.
We live in the future.
I'm looking forward to going in the past and reliving it. I don't know. The format looks cool as hell. I love it. I get competitive at a pre-release. You know what I mean? It's the only environment where I feel competitive in Magic.
Not even dating is more competitive for you?
No, sir. I'm confident, baby. I don't gotta be. I'm not competing with nobody. They can't hold a candle to my ass. You know what I'm talking
about?
I
didn't know you were that good at multiple games. You've got game, but also, you know what? Let's just move to the next joke.
to the next joke. There's a lot of pressure for the next thing I'm saying. The script. Solani's ad-libbing
again. I'm going off teleprompter.
I'll just say, like, I love what this set looks like after all. Like, I'm really... I think Orzhov looks really appealing to me. Like, the bats all look super pushed, and I really hope I open a ton of bats, and I hope I open Orzhov really good.
So you're some kind of Batman.
Cool. Yeah, baby. Call me Batman. I hope no one else out there is called Batman in any way. I don't know. It's the only environment where I feel competitive. When it comes to Commander, I want to see everybody do their thing. I want to get to do mine. I want to do a bunch of stuff. I want to see engines going off. But when it comes to like pre-release or like draft, I'm like sweaty about it.
You want to win?
I just want to win. Yeah.
It's like the Coliseum. You just get dropped into the LGS with like dual wielding.
See, this is how I can tell you don't play blue, because fun should be a zero-sum game, right?
Right.
And if you're not having all of it, then why bother? I mean,
you're basically losing, if that's the case. Like,
spoken like a true control player.
I am the best at having fun.
I'm the best at having fun.
I am gold-ranked in competitive fun. I'd be higher, but all of my allies are trash, and I always keep getting paired with terrible teammates.
Damn. Get him. Get him. How dare anybody at this point right now? You're having all the fun. How dare they try to have any when you're having all of it? I do want to say that I think that this set is extra funny because there's a character named Glarb. And that's fun.
Is that what you would really be, fun. Mark Carbonza? Would you be
no,
Glarb?
Glarb Carbonza, Calamity's Augur.
Is this like the new, is this like the new Morbinet? Is this the new Morbius?
Let's Glarb.
More than a passing resemblance. I'm not going to lie.
Maybe if yeah. we complain a lot, we can have Wizards release Bloomborough in like 6 months.
Again?
Yeah, again. Just like Morbius.
Yeah, well, they did it with Baldur's Gate for D&D anniversary. Maybe they just need a 6 month anniversary of us saying Glarb too much.
God, I hope they do that because, you know, like all the characters in Baldur's Gate turned out to be hot when you played the game. So I'm assuming a similar thing's going to happen with Bloomborough, where everyone looks at Mr. Foxglove and immediately swoons.
Wow. No, and you know what? If you're out there about to play Mr. Foxglove, just know that I think you're playing on easy mode, and that's a hot take.
No, it's
right?
not.
It's not a hot take. Everybody agrees, right? They got
it. What does Mr. Foxglove even do?
Oh, God, don't make me look it up. I'm going to go look it up. Mr. Foxglove is
this is against the rules.
Yeah.
We're
Mr.
supposed
Foxglove
to know.
Is the backup commander of the Bant precon. So he's for two white, blue, green. He's a 3/5 fox rogue with lifelink. And it says, whenever Mr. Foxglove attacks, draw cards equal to the number of cards in defending player's hand minus the number of cards in your hand. If you didn't draw cards this way, you may put a creature from your hand onto the battlefield. So basically, if you've already got the bigger hand, you get a free creature. Look at that. You know what I mean? But if you don't have the biggest hand and you're swinging at somebody with seven and you've got like one card in hand, oh, look at that. Your attack trigger drew you six cards. Oh, do you have a double and attack trigger? You're going to Stryonic Resonate this? Guess what? You draw up to like seven or whatever and then drop a big creature. Like, it's so weak. Honestly, it's insulting to me. I have to write the review for this one. And my review for Mr. Foxglove was like, can we not?
Can but he's
we not?
So hot,
we stop,
though.
Stop trying to win the game.
Oh, my God. Thank God. Michael said he's so hot, and all of a sudden we got a call to take. All right.
Actually.
Get out of here. We're going to take this call. We'll be right back on the other side. Here we go. It's the Bowlcast, baby. Caller on the line. Who we got? Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Angelo Guerrera of EDH Rec.
Oh, well, hello, Angelo. Nice to hear from you again. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing all right. Doing okay. It's a Saturday morning and there's snow when there shouldn't be snow. So I'm upset about that, but not about this call. I'll tell you that much. I'm happy to hear from you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. I think last time we talked, it was also snowing for you.
Yeah. Last time we spoke, it was in the throes of it. I think it had just started snowing. Mm-hmm. And now we're so far past when it like had stopped snowing. And we were like, oh, it's safe to take out the patio furniture. And now it's back to being a full on blizzard. Yeah. So, hey, listeners, if you're detectives and you're listening to this in what, like August, maybe you could figure out what wretched month we're recording this one in.
Hey, it's my birthday month. It's not that wretched.
You're right. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Aries season. Let's go. We're the best.
Now we're really just telling them. There's no guesswork involved.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
No bad. We're good. Hey, I think the audience gets that this is well in advance pre-recorded.
Certainly.
I think at this point, hey audiences, if you think that we're doing a live call-in show on a podcast, hey, okay,
I want to live in your fantasy world.
Hey, good for you. It's it must be fun. That does peekaboo still work too? Hey, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm just playing around. Angelo Guerrera of EDH Rec, my sweet, sweet boy.
Hello.
So happy to have you on. Little peek behind the curtain. Angelo has already called in to the podcast, and unfortunately the audio corrupted, and I have no idea how that stuff works. I don't know how to recover that stuff, but here we are. We're making it right. I'm happy you called back into the show.
Of course.
And I'm stoked to have you, but I would be remiss if we didn't tread back over some of the stuff we talked about last time. Yes. Which is, Angelo, you're known online as the Jess guy.
Hello.
But I yes. know you better as the guy who put together my favorite cube, Innistrad cube. And every time you post a pack one, pick one from your cube, I'm all about it. I'm so excited to see it. I'm ready to talk about it. But I'm also a very bad drafter. It just makes me feel good seeing other people going for the stuff that I'm like instinctively going for. But also some of these people are like, nah, I like the silly dumb stuff. And I'm like, oh, I thought this was powerful.
Yeah.
Angelo put together this Innistrad cube. I got to play it twice at Commander Sealed last summer.
You woke up early to draft second time. I was flattered.
I honestly, I don't like waking up early. All right. I don't at all. When Angelo said that there was a chance, a possibility that we could maybe get people together at 8 a.m. Was it 8 a.m.?
I think it was 8 a.m.
Yeah. It was 8 a.m., which means that my buddy Eric and I had to get up and then drive down for at like 7:45. So we'd make sure we'd be there on time and got breakfast. So we were up at 6:30. There isn't much in the world that I would do that for. But after getting a taste for the cube like the day before, I was like, I'll get up in the morning for this. There's Monster available at the corner store. I'll need it because I hate coffee, but I'm coming in hot. Let's do it. I'm ready to draft the reanimator archetype no matter what.
Yeah, I was going to say you were rewarded.
I was.
For those wondering, Mike immediately drafted Grizzlebrand Reanimator, which is one of the themes of the cube. He gets Grizzlebrand, he gets Hullbreaker Horror, he gets Avabrook Caretaker, and I'm looking. There's eight people.
Burial Rites, by the way. Don't forget on Burial Rites.
And Burial Rites. I opted to not draft. I opted to just watch eight people enjoy the cube. So I'm walking around, and Mike's like, come here, look at what I got. He's like, pack one, pick one, Grizzlebrand. I'm like, oh my God, this is going off the rails immediately.
I told you that I was like trying for it. Like, because the first draft we did, I was pretty, every pack I got past had like the most busted werewolf.
Yep.
And it was like, I was like, okay, so I'm at a table with people who are talking about how badly they love draft and like how much they like appreciate a good play experience. I'm like, okay, I better be at the best of my abilities. I can't fuck around here. Sorry, Ken, bleep that one. I can't mess around too much, you know? And I'm looking at these werewolves like, I don't care about werewolves so much, but there's only so many like volatile arsonists and Tovalar that you could look at in a pack and be like, I don't want this. Like, you have to. I kept getting past werewolves and wolves, and I was like, I had a solid deck. I did well in that draft. But then when it was the second draft time and I saw Grizzlebrand, I was like, there's no chance. There's no way in a million. I'm playing a card that is banned in the one format I play regularly. The only chance of me playing Grizzlebrand again are if it's in a cube, B, they unban it in Commander, which fat chance.
Never happening.
C, it's in like a bonus sheet for a standard set, and I go to a pre-release and I open it in my kit and I'm like, well, I can't not pick Grizzlebrand. I need to put this in. It's a compulsion at this point. I need it. One of the most bonkers cards ever printed.
Yeah. No, it was very enjoyable. And also for those wondering, yes, werewolves is good in my cube. It's wild. After
so good.
Five or six limited formats where werewolves are awful, I finally made one where werewolves actually like beat people up. If I'm not mistaken, I think I was on green black and I played you. And you just beat me up really quickly. And I was like,
Angelo, it was almost too easy. It was almost like I almost had to be like, you might want to take some notes on the cube. I think you might want to power down the werewolves then. It was almost too easy. And what was nuts is it was always a pack that was being sent my way where it was like, here's a great werewolf. Here's like a werewolf you wouldn't be mad about having in your deck. And then here are nine vampires or whatever. Yep. Like it was just so many vampires. And I was like, this is going to go around the bend. I'm going to wheel this wolf.
Yep.
And I did most of the time.
Yeah.
It was like I was the only one who saw the line for werewolves and I got every bit of it. And it, yeah, of course it's going to be true. Powerful.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah. No, it was so good. It's very fun. I'm happy to have a format where werewolves are finally good.
Yeah. they'll do like an Innistrad remastered and they're like, hey, so we consulted Angelo on this one because
yeah, we looked at his nothing. Cube, we looked at how werewolves worked, and we decided to follow that paradigm.
Werewolves worked the way I wish double feature happened. You know what I mean? What a flop of a product. But man, I do love the black and white cards on a lot of those, that artwork. But yeah, Angela, you've been working on this cube for a long time. It's up on Cube Cobra. You've got like a whole primer on all the archetypes and you keep it up to date. It's like a real passion project for you. So please, if you're at all interested in cube and want to like do a play test or a draft on your own online, you can do that on Cube Cobra.
Yes.
So I encourage you to follow Angelo's cube on Cube Cobra.
Yes, please do. I update it regularly, physically and on Cube Cobra. And yeah. I've been working on it for like 6 or 7 years. However long Eldritch Moon has been out, I forgot.
Yeah. Has it been?
Oh, it's more it than six like or seven now I'm thinking about it.
It's been way longer.
I'm Uh-oh, old.
We're going to Google. We're going to Google. Oh, no.
Here 2015?
We go. Oh, 16.
16. Yikes. Uh-oh, 16. That's 8 years.
8 years. It's not. Look, you said six or seven, and I'm like, oh, you weren't that wrong. July 2016, Eldritch Moon.
God, that's what wild.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's worth it. The love you put into it is it's noticeable.
Thank
and
you.
It's very fun. If you follow Angelo, you will absolutely at some point come across a pack one, pick one post. And you'll see me underneath yelling about either the most fun or the worst pick, but believing that it is the best pick.
Most fun that's pick. Right.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. The most fun or the worst. Because I'll be looking at it like, I've never played Bloodrick, you know,
yep.
maybe I'll take that. And it's like, no, it's pack one, pick one. You're not in anything. Nope. You want something good.
Yeah, grab a mono-colored card, please. Unless it's Drogskull Captain.
Also, before Cole gets too mad at me for saying I want something good and then throwing Bloodrick under the bus, I don't mean that as in he's bad. In your deck or commander, I mean that as in Angelo.
Yep. Hey, don't worry. You'll never need to worry about picking Bloodrick in the cube because he's not in.
There we go. Had to find it. The horn. Angelo, thank you for calling in.
Of course.
That brings us to the end of the interview. You know, can you imagine?
No. Wait,
we haven't
on.
Even talked about. Wait a second. So the Innistrad cube is one. It's my favorite cube. Check it out. And now we won't be talking about cube anymore because we got to talk about your Am I the Bolus story or pet peeve or general like, hey, what about this? Hit me with it. What made you call in today?
So I want to know if I'm the Bolus for wanting to win.
That's it.
That's it.
I want to win. Am I the bad guy?
I want to win. Am I the bad guy? Now, there is a bit of nuance to this. So
of course.
It doesn't sound that bad. It's like, oh, yeah, it's a game. Everyone wants to win, obviously.
If we cut it right there, it would be a very easy discussion with Mike and Morgan after this.
No, he's not the Bolus. He just wants to win. We all want to win.
He wants to win.
No, what I mean is I don't worry about how I want to win. For example, in Jeru Planeswalkers, for those who don't know, it's mono white planeswalkers.
Right.
I run Armageddon. You know, like, hey, I get four or five walkers out, I lock down the board, and then I blow up your lands, and I say I'm gonna kill you in three turns. I wanna win. In Belladros Witherbloom and in Extus, I'm running, you know, Grave Pact and or Dictate of Erebos to lock down the board and go, I'm gonna kill you in three turns. in my blue decks, I go, all right, I'm gonna Cyclonic Rift the board and kill you. This is my overrun.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't mind winning in ways that I often see discourse about. That's probably the best way to put it.
We're going to get into each one of these, I think. Because I think the most important thing that you say in each one of these examples is, and then I win in the next three turns, right? Mm-hmm. And not for nothing, the turns after an Armageddon are much quicker than they would be otherwise.
Exactly.
You know, they go either land, go, or... pass, I have no lands, you know.
Yep.
And then you get back to your turn and you turn all your Gideons into creatures and you send them into fight.
Yep. And I plus on my Ugin and I plus on my Elspeth and then all my Gideons swing at everyone.
There we go. Yeah, exactly. So like that feels like, yeah, if hey, you got something online, this is a way to push the win. All right. Same with the Cyclonic Rift. What do people always say? If you're not about to win off of an overloaded Cyclonic Rift, why are you really playing it? Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's a 7-mana fog that makes everyone angry.
Right. And that's the thing is like, if it is a fog, you better be able to have the like a good crackback on the player that you're really intending to hurt. Right. Like sometimes you'll be saving the entire table and everybody else is stoked about it. And then that one player that has to that caused you to use it is a menace and gets dunked on. And that's worth it. Yep. But ultimately, Cyclonic Rift overloaded should be the Cradlehoof that you see in blue. And the Witherbloom one is I have a little bit more difficulty with because Dictate of Erebos and Grave Pact effects while I was and I mean, I was. All over these effects. I like had them in every deck because I'm an aristocrats guy. I love like making an engine where stuff dies all the time. It just ends up making people feel like, well, I can't play this one creature because you've got a token you'll sacrifice for mana and you'll kill my stuff immediately.
Yeah.
So they feel stalled out and wrecked. But again, if you're like, hey, I have the Grave Pact that I'm deploying now, and I'm going to sacrifice these three pests, and now I'm going to attack with the rest of the 90 pests I have. Well, then that's game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you could have also attacked with just the 90 pests. I think that would work.
Yeah, I think the most important part, and again, there's a lot of discourse around all these cards. There's a lot of there's a lot of discourse about how to actually quote unquote win a game of EDH because there's so many different ways to win, and there's so many different ways that people don't like to lose.
Right.
But I think the biggest thing is you just need to do these things responsibly. If you just play, if you just play a Grave Pact or I consider Aura Shards exactly like Grave Pact. To me, those two cards are the same thing.
Yeah.
If you just play a Grave Pact to play a Grave Pact, then you're just slowing the game down and making things miserable. But like you said, when you have an engine online and you go, all right, cool, I can sack stuff and drain everyone. I have a Vein Ripper on board. I have a Bastion of Remembrance on board. Belladros is online and I have Yawgmoth out. It's like, oh, well. Yeah. We're dead pretty soon, you know? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think that there's like... So, a couple things here. Playing it responsibly. Like, and shout out, look, it's not like they need the help, but the Command Zone did an episode on the taboos and stuff about EDH and like, basically the unwritten rules of Commander.
Yep.
One of which is, like, mass land destruction, bad. And they were like, look, mass land destruction is valid. okay, whoopsie, we're starting with a big one.
Yeah.
But like mass land destruction, just because you have it in your hand and you want to play it, no bueno. Mass land destruction because you have a way to like use it to your advantage.
Yep.
Excellent work. Like that's valid. That's the way you do things. Like good for you.
There's so many times where you just don't have to deploy something. I have, and I make myself look like such a jerk right now. I have a Kiki Jiki deck, and
which one of the infinite combos are you running?
I'm only running two. I think there could be four, but I don't know. Everything combos with Kiki Jiki.
Yeah, Zealous Conscripts is the one that I think of immediately.
Yeah, I'm running Zealous Conscripts, and I'm running Combat Celebrant.
Of course. Yeah, yep. True.
And you know, it's really easy to go, oh well, I'm just going to deploy this on turn five and end the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more fun sometimes. Like combos, just in general, combos is another thing that there's discourse about where it's just like,
yeah, another one of the unwritten rules that they talked about in the episode too.
And it's just like, if you want to combo off on turn five, then just remove yourself from the game because you just wanted to show everyone that you could win, let the other three people play. But if you're using a combo to close out the game, if you're 12 turns in, and things haven't progressed, just win the game at that point.
See, here's my thing about that point. And also, it is different, and this is another point from the Command Zone episode. Of course, because I brought it up, I'm going to have to let them know, folks know that this is in that one too. If you're at a table where everybody's going for a combo, that's awesome.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If you're at a table where everybody's like, yeah, I'm going for this infinite combo. No, it's not CDH, but, you know, turn six or seven, I can get an infinite online pretty easily. And everybody's like, yeah, I'm also chasing an infinite. And that's how I end the game with this deck. Hey, awesome. That's an arms race. That's like, it's like civilization. Everybody's trying to get the space.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like it makes sense. But if we're playing, like, basically upgraded pre-cons. You know, this one time we played the Lost Caverns pre-cons. My buddy came over. He's like, hey, we're playing the Last Caverns pre-cons. And we played this long game of, like, you know, 15 turns. And it went, like, okay, great. We all love it. And then the next game, we're like, okay, let's all get, like, decks about the same. Like, oh, I have a slightly upgraded pre-con. Okay, so do I. And so we sit down. We're like, we love that game. Let's go for the same vibe. And then out of nowhere, one of the players was like, well, Kiki Pestermite in one turn.
Oh.
I'm like, oh.
Yep.
Why? You know, like, it's not like either any of us had the win soon, but he had the win, and it's in the deck. And he was like, I'm gonna play it. And I'm like, I hate that. I don't care for that one bit. But also, like, it is a way to win, and he won, you know. But that said, it's like it is like an anticlimactic way to win. It's not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
But if you have like an infinite combo in your deck, that's fair. Some of these cards work too well together. That's like how it goes.
Yeah, I think, like, the most important part about all of these things is just reading the room and reading the game. I can't tell you how many times I've just tormenting voiced away Zealous Conscripts because I'm like,
fair.
I don't want to combo right now. I'm having fun just blinking my Inferno Titan and making copies of, I don't know. Think of another red card that does ETB
Terror
stuff.
Of the Peaks.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's just about, again, being responsible with stuff and just knowing the direction of the game. And if people aren't doing combos and if it's still early in the game, just, you don't need to do it.
Yeah, it's exactly it. It's, and you know what? People will be like, well, why are you sandbagging it then? You know, why'd you bring this to the table if you're only going to sandbag it? And the answer is, again, Angelo just said, read the vibe. Hey, sometimes sandbagging is gonna make it more memorable and fun. Straight up. Yeah. I always think back to a moment where I had a counterspell in hand, and I could have stopped a game-winning play, but this was like a 9-card combo that none of us had ever seen assembled, and we were like, oh, wait, does this win the game?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, nobody knows I have this counterspell. Good job, Chris.
Yep.
Way to take the friggin' game with this ridiculous combo that we now like think about all the time. You know, it's it makes for a much more fun environment than to be like, well, no, you know, we came all this way for me to be like, nah,
no thanks.
Yeah, the vibe was right to be like, we want to end it. And also, this was impressive. Oddly enough, didn't see any of these working together. And then the perfect piece fit. And it's like, oh, now we can zoom out. And it's one of those paintings that somebody painted upside down and they just flipped it out. And you're like, whoa, is that a portrait of Obama? Like, that's the kind of, you know?
Exactly.
And that's fun. But I think to your point, so am I the bolus for wanting to win? And not like, you know, not just, it's not like you're flippantly being like, yeah, I'm going to play all these things that are like a little bit like, you know, taboo in Commander. It's more like, hey, I'm going to use these responsibly. And this is also going to make our discussion after the call difficult, because when you put it this way, it's like, am I the bolus for wanting to win with no no worries about me taking too long, and I'm responsible about it, and yes, I'm using means that people will poo-poo, but it's also, hey, look at that, it worked.
Yep. Hey, you know? I personally, my favorite kind of EDH game is like 45 minutes.
Interesting.
I don't want to go on for 2 hours. I'm like, don't get to play Magic a lot. I don't want to sit.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't want to sit there for 2 or 3 hours and play a single game. I have like 15 decks. I want to play like 2 or 3 decks during the night.
I agree. I'm with you. I'm totally with you. And like, here's the thing, man. I also have too many decks, right?
Yeah,
and
I think
we all
do.
To play all of them. Yeah, isn't that the thing? I just built again deck, the Mardu. Oh, nice. Enchantment guy, but yep. Secret Commanders are 3-dog Galaxy News DJ, okay, and Ariette of the Charmed Apple.
Nice.
So it's like a fun little Mardu pairing that if people were to be like, do you want to just like play them in the command zone? I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, that's
I would
dope.
Love that. Then I'd take out the tutors I put in the deck. It's the first deck I've run tutors in.
Oh, wow.
In like the last 10 years. I don't mess with tutors. I prefer not to. But even then, I have them all on enchantments or on Imperial Recruiter because thematically, etc.
Yeah.
But that said, like, I just built this deck. I'd love to sit down and play this deck 2 or 3 times because I want to experience having it go off and have a fun time. And so 45 minutes. That's quick.
Yeah,
that means a lot. Like, I guess 45 minutes in a pod where people are playing quickly,
yep,
I can appreciate. But I don't mind a game going 75 or 90 minutes.
Yeah,
I don't mind that. When it goes past 90 minutes, I'm like, okay, I don't wear watches, but I'm tapping my wrist. You know.
Yeah, I don't mind 90 minutes. That's fine. It's just, you know, 45 is nice. Let's go.
Yeah. 90 minutes can be fun. It's just, it just is stuff happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are we doing stuff on board and are we joking around? You know what I mean? Like, or is it just one player taking up all the time on the clock and just being like, you know, hey, I have to figure out this combo. And then, you know, we wait until he figures it out before his brother casts like a Force of Will or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? No, I think the most, and it's funny that I say this considering I'm like, yeah, I play Armageddon and Dictate of Erebos, but the most fun games are the ones where people get to take a lot of different game actions.
Yeah.
It just, again, depends on how you want to cap that game off, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're totally right. You're totally right with the way you're going at it. Like, you're totally fine. Like, hey, man, if you need Armageddon in your Planeswalker deck, that makes sense. Makes sense. You know what else makes sense in friggin' Farewell is the card I probably hate the most.
Yep.
In Commander at the moment. It's probably Farewell. It goes Farewell, Dockside Extortionist, and Smothering Tithe, despite all being in colors I love. And despite, you know, I also hate Sol Ring, but that's another thing.
Yeah.
But that said, you know, Farewell is a card that I despise seeing because, you know, oh, you're going to get rid of the graveyard. Like, the one thing that this is supposed to, like, having a sac outlet is meant to, like, save you from losing your stuff forever. And even that, you're exiling great. Oh, great. You know, I'll you know what? I'll go f- myself. thanks, Ken, for bleeping that out. You know, and then so, like, I have Farewell at least maybe in the sideboard, depending on the game, for my Super Friends deck, my Aminatu Super mm-hmm. Friends deck. But that's also a deck where I'm like, hey, guys, I'm going to be ultimating Dovin Bond, which is a asymmetrical Winter Orb. Yep. And, you know, that's going to happen. And I'm also going to get Kaya's emblem.
Yep. And I'm just going to like replay this? My walkers. So yeah. Anyway, get rid of all your stuff.
There,
sorry. Yeah,
exactly. And to get there, I might need to get rid of all your creatures forever and
yep.
Maybe everything else, you know, who knows? And Farewell makes total sense there, but it also is a card that, like, I'm not going to play unless I have a board full of walkers and they're under severe threat
yep.
of being annihilated.
Exactly.
You know? And it's, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if I took it out. I really hate Farewell.
Yeah. Well, but- and that's the thing. All these cards, I've waffled with Armageddon in and out. Sure. I've waffled with Dictate of Erebos. All of these things are really easy to take out.
Yeah.
Like, you can you could find other ways to win, I'm sure. But, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you just want to go, yeah, I'm just going to Armageddon, you know? But other times you could take it out and just put something else in. I mean, for example, we just got a Crater Hoof in Mono White with Moonshaker Cavalry.
We did.
You
yes,
know,
we did.
Like, you could add that in instead of an Armageddon and give all your tokens, you know, +10/+10 yeah. and bam, you're done.
Yeah. Of all the examples you gave, I think Armageddon is the most fine. Isn't that wild? We're at a point where
yep.
I, cause it, under the, so a lot of caveats here under this, the scope in the scope of playing responsibly, let's begin with that. If yep. we're playing responsibly, Armageddon is way more fun than Dictate of Erebos or Grave Pact or Cyclonic Rift. Mm. Armageddon is also still like taboo enough to have that novelty to it.
Yeah.
Where like somebody slams an Armageddon, you're like, oh my God, ooh, really?
Ah.
I guess it makes sense here, but like any of the blue players have a counter spell? No.
Yep.
We're doing this? I guess we're yep. doing this.
Are we still dead? Have... All right.
Yeah. And the idea is like, I tell this story all the time, and this speaks to how reading the room and the vibe and playing it responsibly and being open to a moment like this could be something that sticks with you and is something that you enjoy. This was from back in the throes of like one of the first or second lockdowns. I was playing online with Don Miner, you know, the guy yep. who owns and runs EDH Rec and Commander's Herald and all this stuff. We got a game, LFG channel in our work chat. We were looking for a game. It was me, Don, I want to say, well, I think Ben Doolittle, and then I'm forgetting the last person. I'm so sorry to that last person. We all shuffled up, and Don says, I've been thinking about playing my Irois God of Victory deck, and that's a land destruction deck. And I'm like, how, you know? And he said, well, I have a bunch of board wipes that will kill lands and also get rid of creatures and also will get rid of everything but enchantments mainly. And I'm like, that, okay, that's interesting. So he plays his deck out and it is exactly what he says. Here's an enchantment. Here's an enchantment. Here's something I'm setting up. Irois is out. It's online. A 7/4 commander. Here's more enchantments. And now Jockle Hops. You know?
Yep.
And he's already getting in and hitting people with Irois at this point. But throwing the Jockle Hops, that's pretty much game.
Yep.
And yet I found a way to try to stay in. Playing mm-hmm. my Prosper deck. Throwing a Malakir Rebirth on Prosper right in time. And I get... You know, I get to try to claw my way back into the game. It made for like a tense situation. It felt so good. And it's one of these things that I remember now thinking Don played it responsibly in the sense that like this was the win condition. Nobody expected me to be able to come back from it at all. Like, and I'm trying and I'm clawing my way back and I'm presenting a different challenge and threat to him. This is a game that I'm sure if we talked to Don, he'd probably be like, oh, yeah, that was pretty wild.
Yeah.
You know? So it's one of those things where, like, if you're playing it as part of your strategy in the deck, you can have these moments. It's not impossible to, like, have something as, like, messed up as mass land destruction.
Yeah.
And to take it in a direction that's fun for the table, right?
No, exactly. I think that in that situation especially, and I mean any situation, but the one that you're talking about, the Rule Zero conversation is so important.
There we go.
You know, just being able to be like, yeah, no, this is how I'm going to win. You know, when I play my Jera deck, it's like, hey, yep, I'm going to win with Planeswalkers. I board wipe a lot. Maybe I'll blow up your lands. You know, hey, I'm playing Kenrith Treasures. It's not that Kenrith deck, but it's still a Kenrith deck. Watch out. Right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a lot of mana and a bunch of activated abilities. You figure it out.
Yep.
That's wild. And, you know, going back to the central question, am I the bolus for wanting to win? No.
Maybe the better question is, am I the bolus for not caring how I win?
That is a better question. Because everybody wants to win. I guess, like, you're putting together this deck to do a thing. And whether your internal metric for winning is, like, setting a goal for yourself at the beginning of the game, being like, you know, hey, I want to cast three dog and copy Angelic Gifts 15 times. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I want to draw 15 cards off of 1 3 dog activation. Great. Hey, that's a win for you. But also, you're going to lose because the other player is storming off and you lost. Right. Yep. But hey, that's an internal win. Everybody wants to win in some way. Everybody wants to walk away feeling good about what they did, but not caring how you win. Are you the bolus for that?
Maybe.
That phrasing? Yeah, maybe. That phrasing is a big maybe. That phrasing is a big baby for sure. Because the way you describe it is like you're also saying, I do care how I win. You're saying, I care. I will win. I want to win. I'm pushing to win. But you're also talking about playing it responsibly.
Yeah.
And saying that this is the way that I'm playing. So it's not like I don't care how I win. Am I the bolus for playing to win and using discourse topics?
Yeah, right. Pretty soon you're going to hear me just talk about Voja for 3 hours.
Oh, boy. Well, here we go. It started. So what do you think?
Ward is the worst mechanic of all time.
Oh, no, tell me more. It is wild how they were like, hey, hexproof was a mistake. How about we do hexproof light? And people were like, yeah, everything. Okay, now is that yeah, maybe on a couple things. And they're like, okay, it's on everything now. It's like, well, now everything's a board wipe. We went from like targeted removal being in a sweet spot to everything needing to be a board wipe. And now they're like, oh, no, wait. Oh, boy, we didn't mean for Sunfall to be playable in EDH so much.
Uh-oh, we made a boo-boo.
Whoopsie. Now we got this big wolf that's terrorizing every table because people see it as big wolf and they're like, big wolf care about elves, me like. And then they slam it and you're like, I didn't mean that as like a reductive caveman thing, but I do mean like that. As like a collective smooth brain thing that we've all been doing. Everybody saw Voja and was like, this tickles the primal thing in me. Because it feels so simple.
Yep.
It feels so simple. Big dog make big. And you're yep. like, yeah.
Let me draw a card, please. Thank you.
This should have been Gruul. Yeah. But man, yeah, it is the ward thing is a mess. But mm-hmm. Angelo, I think you leave us with a good question. Am I the bolus for not caring how I win, but that I gotta win?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think we're going to have to talk about it. I think it's going to be an interesting take, and I think we're going to get into a bunch of these taboo topics. We're going to have our own version of the Command Zone Unwritten Rules episode, which I can't stress enough. It was a
that.
Nice time. Yeah, I mean... It's going to be me and Solani arguing about stuff. For some reason, I'm going to be like, no, Armageddon should never be played. And he'd be like, you just said it should. Hey, Solani, if you're still listening to this, which you should be, sometimes I'll say stuff to rile you up because it's kind of fun. But usually not. That said, Angelo, I think I'm going to give a pre-verdict here and say, the key word is responsibly, you know?
Agreed.
You're saying, I'm going to play this as my crater hoof. You know, you said Cyclonic Rift, this is my crater hoof. This is my overrun.
Yep.
Right? You said, I'm going to play Armageddon, and then I'll kill you in three turns. That's also responsible way of playing these things. I don't think that that is bolus territory. I think it'll look like a bolus, but it's kind of like the way that's, you know, not to bring up the work of a vile person, but it's kind of like how we thought Snape was a bad guy the entire time. You know, we'll look at you and be like, yeah, you're evil. This sucks. And then you're going to be like, well, I ended the game and I won. And it's like,
the
that's
means justify the end, obviously.
Yeah, now that explains why you were such an ass to Mr. Potter. Anyway, is there anything that you would like to leave our listeners with? Anywhere you want people to find you? Anything you want them to check out that you're working on?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at the Jess Guy. Yes. You can find me on Cube Cobra, same name. You can check out the Innistrad Cube, please.
Yeah.
I'm a moderator for the EDH Reccast Discord, so if you want to come chat with me there, feel free to join that and have some fun.
That's right.
And check out my articles. I've been mainly doing set reviews on EDH Rec, but right. You know, I'm
because they keep coming.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, oh, every month and a half, here's another one. But yeah, so that's about it. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. Make sure to follow Angelo at the Jess Guy. And by the way, it's not Jess Guy, J-E-S-K-A-I. It's J-E-S-G-U-Y. It's a little pun for you.
Yeah.
The Jess Guy.
I wonder what color combination I like the most.
Yeah. It's not like the Rogren Triumph scroll behind you gave it away. the entire time I'm looking at it, like, which one of those is that? And I'm like, yep. Of course, there's no way it could be anything but that.
Yep.
The Just Guy Colors one. I will urge, before we get out of here, I will urge you to check out Angelo's cube. I mean this. It's the most fun cube I've drafted. Follow him on Cube Cobra. Get a look at this and do a sample draft. It's worth it. It's a lot of fun. And we're going to head back into the office and have a chat with Morgan and Solani. And thank you again, Angelo. Goodbye.
Bye.
And a big thank you to Angelo Guerrera of EDH Rec for calling in, a.k.a. the Jess Guy. It's like Jess Guy, but Jess Guy. J-E-S. Oh, my God. J-E-S-G-U-Y. So make sure to follow Angelo on socials. And really, I can't stress this enough. I've already said it a bunch. Check out his cube. The Innistrad cube is always such a pleasure to see updated and all that stuff. And I can't wait to play it at Commander Sealed. Which is happening in a month or so, like a month and some change, and Angelo is going to be there, and so will I, and we're gonna get some games in. So if you're interested in playing Angelo's cube, make sure to DM him or at him on Twitter and say, hey, I love your cube, I would love to play it, and he's going to have a list going, and he's going to set up some times for people to actually play the cube. So get into it, get involved. Shout out to Angelo. Thank you so much for calling in. Now, guys, we got to get to talking about what Angelo's asking here. Morgan,
oh boy.
Let's break it down really quickly. Let's get into it. I don't want to spend too much time on this. What do our votes break down to? How does the voting work here?
Ooh, it really like putting me on the spot, but I am going to try and do this quick. Let's say that my vote is worth one.
Yeah.
And so is Solani's.
Got it.
Your vote, Mark, yes. Is worth three.
I'm Mark, and but so, it's also Mike, my real name.
At the very
voting
end,
twice?
We do math, and things happen. No, he votes this? Once for three times.
What is that, voter
that's,
fraud?
That's how it works.
Is this why you have a new name? Fraud.
Yeah, math. Mark and Mike are voted frauding
friend.
It. Okay, so my vote counts for three, and your votes count for one. It's very democratic, and we have a way to vote over this. Alrighty.
Perfect.
So, Morgan, what's Angelo asking? What is he saying?
Well, it's a really complicated and complex conversation that you guys had. Angela wants to know, am I the bolus for wanting to win and not caring how I do it?
Damn. What a dark-sided way to put it, too. That's fun. All right. Who wants to go first? Morgan, Solani, who wants to be up?
Look, I'm just going to say, I have a couple things to say. I'll say what's on my mind.
Uh-huh.
If you don't care about the way you win, then I don't know why you wouldn't just, like, lay down a shotgun at the start of the game onto the table and say, listen, boys, you's better gonna let me play all of my 7-mana permanents without copying or casting or countering even any of them. Uh-huh. And I'm gonna hit you with them, and that's how this is gonna go. Otherwise, you're gonna get your entire house burned down. Twice.
With the shotgun.
With the shotgun, yes. That's what
your
the shotgun's
shotgun... a secret flamethrower.
It's yeah, it's what the shotgun very... does.
Now correct me if I'm wrong.
Outlaws of Thunder Junction
yeah.
never left.
Yeah, yeah. Outlaws of Thunder Junction is sticking around. I'll say let's keep it within means in the game, probably, is
oh.
I think what Angelo meant.
Oh.
Solani, do you have a take on that?
I think it's okay to win basically any way. You know, like I get the idea behind, oh, people don't like getting Cyclonic Rifted out of the game. People don't like getting Armageddoned out of the game. But honestly, like, as long as that ends the game, it's not much different from, like, an overrun. Nobody complains about an overrun, right? It's fair. And all these other things are not quite as fair, but they still end the game. I think the main problem that people run into where it's like, oh, am I a bad guy for ending the game? Is, like, we don't want to take up a lot of people's time if we can avoid it, and mm-hmm. I think as long as you're winning, it makes sense to use whatever tools are available at your disposal. You know, it's not like the stacks plan where you play a bunch of things that stop the game from even starting in the first place. So
totally,
I think if that's the caveat you want to go with, then yeah, any tool is acceptable. You just have to not be a jerk in playing them incorrectly, and like if you play them incorrectly, you should be punished with like losing, but a lot of cards like Armageddon have this problem where even if you play them in a wrong manner, you're still going to end up in a scenario where the game doesn't end against you. You just slowed it down a bunch. Like, that's the punishment. It's not you losing is the punishment. So mm-hmm. that's where the problem comes in. So I guess my judgment comes down to skill issue. Get better. Yeah, get better at the game.
Jeez.
And then no bolus.
No bolus for Michael. Okay, Morgan, what do you got to say about this one?
Well, dare I say, this is a very context-loaded question. However,
don't
with the benefit
say
of
that word,
with the benefit
question,
context.
That you were asking what word we shouldn't say. That's the
with the benefit of context. See, Angelo comes out and he seems like a bad guy. And maybe he is a bad guy. I haven't met him yet, but I will let everybody know that in his last set review, he did admit to never having played Final Fantasy. So as his editor, I have put him on a performance improvement plan.
That's
and
just firing
he will
someone,
need
right?
to be he will need to be playing Final Fantasy if he wants to continue working and writing for us. But all of that
Damn.
Aside, Angelo wants to win. But Angelo wants to win like win-win. He doesn't want to like psych. Clonic Rift everybody and then just let's keep going. He wants to combo out. He wants to finish the game. Let's play another game. Let's use Dockside Extortionist responsibly.
Like gambling. You gotta gamble responsibly.
Get more things, correct. Get more things going. Get stuff done. Because I personally feel like what happens with a lot of these really like intense CEDH level decks is just like what happens with anything else in like these kind of unwritten rules of commanders. You come into a pod with this banger deck. And then all of a sudden you're hanging out with a bunch of people who have like barely upgraded precons and you're playing with duels and you're playing with, you know, cards that nobody else has or has access to. And you're just sitting there with like a full grip being like, oh, I'll do like one thing this turn, but I could just like keep this game going for the next 10 days. Everybody hated that. Look, win the game, combo off, hit somebody, go to combat, play the lightning bolt, whatever it is that just gets the life down. Like if it's a bad card, whatever. It, but just like kind of showing that you can stay in the game can get really annoying sometimes when you could end it. But it does depend on your play group. If you're playing to win, that means that you're getting the combo. Maybe turn 5 or 6, play another game. You don't get the combo. You get combated out, whatever. So I will agree that Angelo is not the bolus.
Okay.
Because I think that he's trying to win the correct way.
Okay. Alrighty, so we got two not the boluses. Let's just say Angelo.
Let's just screw this up and.
yeah. Let's say Angelo's the bolus. That's right. I'm picking it. No, I mean, Angelo brings up some good points where it's like, he's even mentions he's got the Kiki Jiki deck where he ditched Zealous Conscripts because it showed up too early. And that's not when you want to end the game. You know what I mean? There is something to the fact that, like, yes, he's playing the combo altogether, but, like, that is a it's time to end the game kind of thing. But I think that there's something to be said that these taboo kind of strategies are, like, let's say, discourse-worthy cards are out there, and people talk about them because it's annoying when they're not played, quote, correctly. And I do think what Angelo does in this discussion is navigates the idea that there is a correct way to play them, and that's how he plays them. Like, I do think that there are some of these cards that are known to be a bit of an eye roll, right? And I'll say that, like, there's a way to play them when they make sense. Angelo isn't the bolus for wanting to win. That's why we're playing games. It makes sense that you want to win. When I play other games, like, I don't care. If I'm playing Ticket to Ride with a bunch of people, I'm playing to win. I don't care that I'm blocking them off or anything. You know, if I'm playing Magic and we're a multiplayer game, I'm going to remove the thing that sucks for me on the board. But I'm also going to want to see cool stuff happening. And I know that that's just like a me thing. But if I'm playing at a table with Angelo, who I know is playing this combo, and he reads the table and sees that we're all kind of just messing around and trying some stuff out and having some fun with it, seeing him bin the Zealous Conscripts in the Kiki deck would feel like, oh, this guy gets it. Which is where I think this whole discussion really lands, is like the responsibly thing comes down to reading the room or understanding the consequence of playing that card. So for instance, if you play like an Armageddon or a Jockle Hops, I mentioned my game with Don Miner in this conversation, you know, you're going to want to take down the game. Like, Iroas in that game was ready to kill after three hits, and there were ways to give him double strike. You know what I mean? There was ways to do that sooner. So it's one of those things where, like, I think Angelo isn't the bolus, and I think he does a great job at talking about ways to play these cards with other people in mind. And I think that's a good thing. I think that we could, I think, again, this podcast, we retread so many topics, because how many topics could there really be where people call in and they say, I hate this, or, you know, this has happened to me, and it's, you know, a story about a you know, something bad happening to you, or so you, oh, am I in the wrong because I caused a king-making scenario? And it's like, this is a game that only has so many outcomes, and we're going to talk about it, but in the scheme of the podcast, we're talking about being better people. And this is a great example. Angelo's doing amazing. Angelo is checking in with the table. Angelo is letting people know. Angelo is being considerate with when he is picking the moment to deploy something like mass land destruction. I think it's all good. Shout out, Angelo. Trugen over here. Eugene is your middle name. Angelo Eugene Guerrera, at the Jess Guy, writer for EDH Rec. Give him a shout. Give him a follow. He deserves it. That's the verdict, guys. What do we think of that?
I've got no issues with a verdict that leaned the way I voted. That's how all verdicts should go, honestly. Give me the three-person vote.
Hell yeah.
It sounds like we won.
Yes.
We did.
This is a victory for democracy.
We all won.
We won.
We all won.
We won. I can't believe we won.
We did it. And only one person had to cast Armageddon.
We did it the correct way. We won properly.
We won together.
Properly. I do want to come back to talking about, because we mentioned him earlier, Mr. Foxglove. Mr. Foxglove. Too easy.
Look at this guy.
Too easy.
And look at him too.
Do you have a bone,
like, he
to
looks.
Pick?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do, you monster. I do.
Why is he? He is not too easy. He has to attack. Does he have to connect?
No.
He doesn't have to connect. Well, you still have to, like, cast the card. Not all cards have to be cast.
The bare minimum.
Well, you don't cast the
card.
Some
cards are lands.
You put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield.
I don't know how likely that is to be a problem. You know, like...
I think this is... This is indicative of design being like, okay, no drawbacks. Because here's the thing. Mr. Foxglove's attacking a 3/5 lifelinker, Fox Rogue, and colors with evasion, and colors with a lot of pump. Like, he's getting through. Foxglove is getting through. On attack, you draw equal to the number of cards the defending player has minus the number of cards in your hand. There are ways to discard your hand. But new to Bant, really, it's really like maybe that's the interesting way to do this, is to play like a Bant self-discard or a Bant discard deck for the whole table or just your opponent, so that way you're always attacking and cheating a creature into play. But the idea that the baseline is, let me take a look at my opponents. Okay, who has the exact same amount of cards in hand as me? I'm going to attack, or who has less cards than me? I'm going to attack them. Great. I didn't draw any cards. Now I get to cheat this thing into play. Or I want to draw 7 cards. Let me attack this guy while I have no cards in hand. Either way, the floor on this card is too high for me to be at all interested in it. And I do think that there is a demand for creatures with a bit of a downside. I think that Flubs, I can't believe I'm saying this with sincerity because the character's name is Flubs. Flubs the Fool is the Biobox promo, and it's a Frog Scout 0/5 for teamer mana, so green, blue, red. You may play additional land on each of your turns, and whenever you play a land or cast a spell, draw a card if you have no cards in hand, otherwise discard a card. Pretty severe drawback to turn everything you do into a discard if you have another card in hand. And you know what? There are people who are like, how do I break this? This is so interesting. And that's the spice I'm looking for. That's the interesting thing. You know what I mean? I'm looking at something like Wick, the Whirling Mind, I believe his name is, the rat warlock. Yeah, the World Mind.
The rat snail.
Yeah, the rat warlock that makes a snail. Whenever it or a rat you control enters, you get a snail or you make a snail bigger, and then you can sack a snail for Grixis mana to draw equal to its power and deal that much to each opponent. That's so silly to me. I don't want to make a rat deck around this. I definitely think that, like, wow, make a bunch of rats, rat, 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 make big snail, a snail go boom. That's one way to do it, but there must be somewhere else to go with it that I think that is so interesting and gets my gears going. Mr. Foxglove just doesn't do that for me. It feels like even in the worst case, if my deck isn't doing its thing, I can attack with Foxglove and still come out on top. You know what I mean? And that, to me,
is when you have a...
Solani, you need to... All I'm hearing from this tangent that Carrozza is on is that, Solani, you need to make, like, the world's least effective Foxglove deck today.
Yeah, how they
for Carrozza to play. You need to basically make a Foxglove deck with like no creatures. I don't even know like how you would make it work.
Wasn't that like an idea behind one of your article series on EDH Rec?
Show them up.
You mean yours?
No, not mine. The one where they take very popular, powerful commanders.
Power Sync.
Yeah, Power Sync. That was the Power Sync idea. Yes. Yeah, have Lenny do it. Have Lenny make a Power Sync Foxglove. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, it's 5 mana. It needs to swing. You're not going to give it haste very easily in those colors. And
it makes me think of Kellen the Kid. And also, those colors have Lightning Greaves. It doesn't matter.
Lightning Greaves doesn't count. Like, the fact that there's equipment that gives you haste, it's not the best way to do it. You know, you're not in red. You know, you're not going to get haste off of, like, an 0/3 wall that just gives all your creatures haste for no reason. Like, that doesn't exist.
Well, you have crashing drawbridge as well. Anyway, point is, it reminds me of Kellen the Kid in Outlaws of Thunder Junction, also a Bant commander for green, white, blue, 3/3 flying lifelink human fairy rogue. Whenever you cast a spell from anywhere other than your hand, you may cast a permanent spell with equal or lesser mana value from your hand without paying its mana cost. So you have like this hand cascade, and if you don't, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. What happened to just like having a little whiff? You don't need to get that land out. Like, it just felt like as if it wasn't good enough getting the free thing. Now it can either get the free thing, or if your hand is full of lands, you get a land into play.
Mike, you're not upset at Bant. You're upset at Simic. You're upset at Simic right now. You know,
yes, of course I am. So. Always am.
You know, you rip the mask off a Bant commander, and what is it? It's another thing that says draw a card and put a land onto the battlefield. That's every Simic commander, Mike. They're all the same creature. Have you ever seen Tatiova and Gretchen and Willowwood in the same room at the same time? Yes, because no. they go really, really well together.
I was going to say no, because I see AC the Tyrant's Gyre a lot more.
they're all the same card. Bucks. I know. That's the thing that actually upsets me about all this. It's like, sure. I don't care that Foxglove is good. I care that...
That's so easy.
It's the same way of... Like, even if things are good and it makes things easy, like, it's the same way of being easy every time. Mm. It's like, yeah. There are other ways to give someone value other than just pooping a bunch of lands onto the battlefield, you know?
I'm going to start calling this Foxgloving it. I think that's what I'm going to do.
No, that sounds like
it might not be great. That might be something else somewhere else that you don't want it to be.
Let's make Foxgloving a thing. Everybody,
no, don't.
We're calling this episode to a close. We're going to do our plugs. But remember, Foxgloving. That's what we're calling this phenomena of a thing that doesn't have any downside, but really should kind of just stop being so good. Huh? How about that? Does that make any sense?
Hashtag it.
I'm gonna have to introduce the Urban Dictionary a little bit later, Mike.
Okay, I'm going to learn something. Anyway, everybody, do your plugs. Morgan, where can people find you?
I am on the site still currently known as Twitter, at Indigo Gentleman.
Perfect. Michael Solani, where can people find you?
All of my stuff's at GamesFreakSA. Those are the letters, SA. GamesFreakSA.info.
GamesFreakSA.info and at GamesFreakSA on socials. You can also check out your article series. Am I right, Michael? You got your article series?
Commander's Herald. You could get to all of that stuff from the website, though. So
perfect.
Go ahead and check it all out.
And my name is Mike Carrozza. That's MikeCarrozza. That's how you spell my name to get me on Twitter, on Instagram. My link tree, it's the same thing. My column at commandersherald.com is Am I the Bolus? Oh, gee, I wonder what the connection to this podcast is. And you can find me at Commander Sealed this September. Don't be shy. Come say hi. If you're going to be at Sealed, let us know. We'll be happy to see you. And we are going to get out of here. Don't forget to follow the Just Guy either. And that we're calling this phenomenon Foxgloving it.
Stop. Please stop.
It's Fox. Nope.
I dislike this.
We're going to have to pull out the gun. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He's already got it.
If both of our votes are worth one, Mike, we are voting two against this.
Okay, fine. No Foxgloving it. All right. If you have a better word for it, let us know at Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter. I forgot to plug our own Twitter. All right, bye, everybody.